We began this opening service and this school year in the name of our God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, we are gathered once again to spend the next 9 months in the joint study of your word as it applies to all the affairs of human life. Bless your word so that it reaches our ears, stimulates our minds, and convinces our hearts. Grant that this year our faith will be strengthened, our lives sanctified, and our thoughts, words, and deeds well-pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the singing of the first hymn on your service folder. Turn our thoughts this morning is found in the first chapter of the epistle to Titus, beginning at the first verse. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In Christ Jesus, our living hope, fellow redeemed, welcome back, students, and welcome to you new students. Welcome to all our friends and parents. In Abraham Lincoln's 1862 address to Congress, he concluded with the following: "Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. We of this Congress and this administration will be remembered in spite of ourselves. No personal sacrifice or insignificance can spare one or another of us. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down, in honor or dishonor, to the latest generation. We say we are for the Union. The world will not forget that we say this. We know how to save the Union. The world knows we do know how to save it. We here, hold the power and bear the responsibility. In giving freedom to the slave, we assure freedom to the free, honorable alike in what we give and what we preserve. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of earth. The last best hope of earth. This is how the president saw the United States of America. There's even a history textbook with this in its title, The Last Best Hope. I assume that President Lincoln was comparing the United States to other nations on the earth, to other political movements, and in so doing he saw the Union as the one and only remaining nation where freedom can be preserved for the common man. Is it true then, in all ways, that America is the last best hope of earth? On a political level, who knows? The world hasn't come to an end yet. God knows. History will reveal it. God knows. Doesn't that make you think? Was not America forged into a nation because of God's plans for the world? Throughout history, God has always found a refuge for the gospel, a place where the gospel is preached openly for the salvation of souls. And when that place despises the gospel message, God moves it on to another place. The Jews had it, and they despised it, and the gospel moved on. The Mediterranean world had it, and they despised it, and the gospel moved on. Ireland had it, and when they despised it, the gospel moved on. Northern Europe had it, and when they despised it, the gospel moved on. America had it, and have they despised it, and will the gospel move on? If so, where? But finally, when the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come. America is really not the last best hope of earth. Christ and his gospel is the only hope of the earth. And it has always been so. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. After his conversion, the Apostle Paul's whole life was lived in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, and has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And so it has been throughout time that this has been the one and only hope for every believer. Before time began, this hope was created by God. And in due time, at the proper time, the hope was established through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then this hope was manifested through the preaching of the Word. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Many other attempts have been made to offer hope to people, but the hope is like trying to hold grains of sand in your hand that slip through your fingers and are gone. They've proven futile. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Osiris, Zeus, Jupiter, Allah, Krishna, Buddha, and all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but Jehovah made the heavens. As for us, we have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Jesus, our hope, is a solid rock, not grains of sand. A solid rock in which every believer anchors his soul. Today, you come to ILC. And here, we will continue to hold before you not the last best hope, but the first and the only hope of earth. Wander where you will in this world, and you will find few places where the hope of the gospel is proclaimed. You can ask the young people who went to Nepal. In many places, they and our few Nepalese brethren were the only ones holding out this hope to the people. In many places of the world, you could travel for hundreds and thousands of miles and not find anyone proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So who are we? Of all these billions of people in the world, who are we that we should deserve to have this hope proclaimed to us? I can say only this. We haven't deserved it. That's for certain. We're all sinners. We're born in sin just like everybody else. We were destined to hell just like everybody else. We were not even able, nor did we want, to approach the throne of God. We wanted only to cast him aside and walk in the ways of unrighteousness. And yet, in the abundance of his grace, God has rescued us from our death of sin. He had washed us of all our wickedness, covered us with the righteousness of Christ, and filled us with this certain hope that we will be with him one day in heaven. ILC is a body of God's people. People who live in this hope. We're not perfect. And we regularly confess that when we confess our failures to the Lord. And the Lord continually cleanses us, purifies us in the blood of Christ. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Thus purified in the blood of Christ, we continue to have hope, not in ourselves, in him. God grant that this year will be a year of hope for every one of us. God grant that we, through the patience and comfort of the Holy Scriptures, which we'll hear in chapel, in the classrooms, in the walkways, in the dormitories, in the church services, through this patient and comfort of the Scriptures, may we have hope this year and throughout our lives. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is being brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll continue with the second hymn in your folder. We pray. O God of peace, who has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, we come before your throne in behalf of the faculty, staff, and students of Emmanuel. By your grace, you have allowed us to establish this school as a training ground for pastors and teachers of your flock, whom your Son redeemed through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is your will that men and women be trained to lead the sheep and lambs which you have brought into your fold. Therefore, we commit into your gracious care our high school, college, and seminary. Give to our instructors a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Grant unto us that true humility which brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and his word. Let all instruction and training constantly be governed by the fear of the Lord. Give to all the students the willingness to receive your word and the diligence to apply themselves to their studies and a prayerful mind. By your Holy Spirit, equip them completely for all good works, so that they may be prepared to take their places as leaders, teachers, and pastors of your flock. Grant unto our staff a love for your sheep and for their work of service to you. Help them to work together in peace and harmony. Look graciously upon their efforts and bless their labors, so that your name may be glorified by all who benefit. O God, these are the last days, days of great distress on earth. We are in dire need of missionaries to gather lost sheep into the fold. We are in need of shepherds for the flock. We are in need of wise and zealous laymen to hold up the hands of the shepherds. Lord, move the hearts of your youth that they may desire the office of the ministry, and bring such youth to us so that we may fulfill the work that you have called us to do. Grant unto our parents peace of mind in the knowledge that their children are under your watchful eye and are being instructed in your truth. Bless our CLC. Give to pastors, teachers, and laymen a steadfast faithfulness to your word and a love for all sinners. Let your word in their mouths be the power unto salvation to all who hear. Bless also our brethren in foreign lands. Let them see the beauties of your holiness and grace. Let the church flourish and grow in their midst like the cedars of Lebanon, so that the heathen may come and find rest in its shade. Bless the leaders of our nation, our president and Congress, our governors and state assemblies, and all others whom you have appointed for the establishment of peace and order in our land. Give them the willingness so to rule that we may carry out your work without fear. Richly bless this school, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, in whose name we also pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us conclude with the singing of the Alma Mater. You can find it on the wall up there. seated. Was Karen able to make it? Karen, would you stand up? We welcome one of our new instructors, our art teacher, Karen Sweeter. Thank you for coming to help us and serve your Lord here. I don't know if, is Nathan here? Nathan Lau? No. There is a new canteen manager, and that's Nathan Lau, Jessica Lau's husband. So we welcome him also to our family. Maybe he's watching. We are being streamed on the internet. All cleaners meet over by the bleachers on the north side there with Mr. Heinze, who for the immediate future will be serving as our facilities manager. Luther Sieg has accepted employment elsewhere. Any other announcements?
I need to be just a minute with girls varsity softball.